Blog
to open up your mind, to raise up your voice, time to be entertained and learn more about what you already know. It's showtime. You're on the online happy hour tonight. For those that don't know, this show is designed for all of us to get an outside perspective on the inside of someone else's life. blogtalkradio.com/how was your weekend, was with the Z. The call-in number tonight, ladies and gentlemen, 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. I want to say hello and welcome to the audience tonight. For those of you who have heard the show before, and for those of you who may be listening for the very first time, my name is Andy Brown, and I'm along with my co-host, Miss Oatmeal Brown, with the Realness 101, ladies and gentlemen. And tonight, like each and every night, we live vicariously through you. Broadcasting live here at the Dallas-Fort Worth area each and every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Because of you callers, I want to say thank you. You are the reason that the show just gets better and better and better each week. And as you know, ladies and gentlemen, tonight will be no different. I'm ready to rock and roll. The party's about to get down. It's Wednesday, February 23rd. We're almost out of Black History Month, but we are definitely almost out of this bad weather. I don't know what's going on up in Detroit, but down here in Texas is back to normal. Things are looking good, folks. I want to say thank you to all of you who checked out our live broadcast and our live show at Brooklyn's Jazz Cafe here in Dallas, Texas. It was a phenomenal panel. The crowd was enthused, and Brooklyn's can't wait for us to come back and rock the house again. If you missed any of it, if you follow us on Facebook, you'll also see the clip there. Just click like. You'll be able to find out the network, see what's going on with us, and check out our YouTube channel. Also, subscribe to the channel because we're going to be dropping some serious videos and some tripped-out videos around town and around the country during our travels. So it's going to be awesome. I definitely encourage you to do that. I want to say a big shout to all my folks in the chat room tonight, those who have called in tonight. And inquire and tell your friends because this one's going to be hot. I'm loving this topic. I'm loving this reason. Miss Oatmeal, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How's everybody going out there tonight?
I believe everybody's doing lovely. We are thoroughly enjoying what's going on here in Dallas. And if you know Miss Oatmeal, we've been doing a pretty good series here the past few weeks on Black History Month.
Yes, we sure have.
Uh-oh, we got a little echo in here, but that's okay. I don't care of that. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the relevance of HBCUs. We talked about the top 10 stereotypes of black men and black women. Last week we did the collaboration show, and tonight we focus more on what we see on a regular basis in our media, on the football field, on the basketball courts, all over the country. And the image of the black athlete has gone above and beyond anything we could have ever imagined. You know, from the days of Jesse Owens and Bill Russell, Willie Lanier, you know, the list goes on and on. And you look at the time and the era where they grew up and they were participating in athletics and how hard it was for them to achieve what we have taken for granted and what we just strive for in all kind of facets of our life. So I want to take a look at the image of the black athlete as a whole. So we're going to be discussing this tonight with some well-known people here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and also maybe abroad as well. So you may want to go ahead and go on to Facebook. tell your family and friends to chime in on this one. Fellas, it's going to be like real barbershop talk. Ladies, I don't know what you all talk about in the beauty shops in the salon, but Miss Oatmeal may be able to enlighten me on that. This is going to be awesome. So we can get right to it, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll kind of fill you in. Miss Oatmeal, what are your thoughts on tonight's show?
Well, I think tonight would be a very enlightening show. You know, there are going to be several different perspectives and different things and ways for us to look at the black athletes that are in the media and the ones that we see and the outtakes and looks that we all have. You know, they may be a little different. Some of the images that we see do look real flashy, and, you know, a lot of money is spent on frivolous things that may not be, you know, of importance to us or something that we would choose to spend our money on. Or it may be that they are shown in a negative light when personal issues arise in their life. You know, does it seem that they're highlighted more than any other race? I don't know. You know, let's see what the people have to say about it. You know, I have my own views, my own takes on it, you know, but being African-American, you know, of course I'm going to tune in more so to the African-American athlete that is, you know, in the media to see what's exactly going on. You know, I may not necessarily pay too much attention to anyone else, you know, but all athletes as a whole, you know, when something in their personal life arises that is in a negative light, we all know about it, you know.
Well, let's get right to it, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's topic, the image of the black athlete, 646-727-3279. I'm going to get to my very first question tonight, but I want to introduce somebody very special that is on the line. This young lady is really phenomenal, doing big things in Dallas. Natasha, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Natasha, I want to welcome you to the online happy hour, and I haven't had a chance to introduce my audience to you tonight. But ladies and gentlemen, on the line right now, we have a wonderful person here in the city of Dallas, Texas. Her name is Natasha Renette, and she is a certified personal trainer here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You know, Natasha, just kind of give us a little bit about yourself before we break into the topic about the image of the black athlete.
All right, definitely. Yes, I work with children, adolescents, as well as adults, all ages, both genders. And basically what I do is just I help them obtain whatever fitness goal they have, whatever health or medical issues they're dealing with. I try to help them get past that. So basically, you know, whether it's, you know, an image thing, which is less important, I would say, not to knock it, or whether it's internal, my goal is to help them be healthier overall.
Well, very good. I mean, that's good for our people to know, so they're like, who's this chick that's calling in? We need to know a little bit more about you, trying to square us away. So we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight. I mean, I want to just address the very first question to you. And the question is, as a whole, for the image of the black athlete, why do many black Americans strive to become athletes?
Wow. You know, I'll say, I think probably especially the younger ones, they may see that as the easiest way to get a lot of money fast. They might not have a knowledge of other careers out there that can provide them with, you know, great sources of income. What they see on TV is what they're going to shoot for. You're not going to see the stockbrokers being, you know, I guess, lighted on television as you would see the athletes. It looks flashier, it looks more obtainable, and maybe cooler for younger people. And they just need to be made aware of other jobs that are out there, you know, that can provide them with good sources of income.
Right. You're right about that. Now take this for example. I mean, does that vary regardless of where they were raised? Because a lot of people tend to think that, you know, your atmosphere, your surroundings can influence that.
I mean, it could. I don't want to stereotype, but I mean, it very well could. But I think it's more due to exposure. You know, if they're in a good program, a after-school program, they might get exposed to other careers that are out there. They just need to be exposed to it and made aware of the other careers out there, and maybe we can touch on that for any parents listening or any young people that might be listening?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to definitely get into that. That's something that is part of my itinerary as well. So, I mean, from a woman's perspective, and I want to give Ms. Oatmeal's take on this also, you know, what positive images does the media portray about the black athlete?
Is that Ms. Oatmeal? Is that me?
I'm directing that to you, Natasha.
Okay. What positive images? Ooh, that's tough. Typically, you're going to see the negative images. Even Tiger Woods spitting on the green made this last week. I mean, so I want to say that I see a lot of positive images because that's not what people want to see, unfortunately. But every now and then you'll see different things regarding them giving to charity. That's always great to see that on television. They do show that sometimes. But typically what makes the news is the negative, unfortunately.
Okay. I know Ms. Oatmeal sitting here, she's brainstorming on it. And I think that, you know, some of the positive things that really happen and that we see are, to me, would be the endorsements. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that the endorsements and that people, what they're actually doing and, you know, the Sprite and like Michael Jordan, you know, be like Mike and be like me.
Definitely,
you know,
I agree with that.
You kind of get that image where, okay, it's good to be – it's good to be like this. It's good to be Mike, and it's good to, you know, drink Gatorade, you can be me. And as far as, like, you know, how the shoes and the endorsements go for that nature, you know, hey, man, if I got a good deal going on, dress like me. I look good. I'm this image. You know, I think that's a really positive image to portray, and you'll get to see them, you know, doing special guest appearances on other television shows. Sometimes they may have themselves, where they're that influential, you know, get some political pull as well.
Right, definitely.
That to me, that speaks volumes for a lot of people. And I think some may want to aspire to do that because they see their athletic hero in a different form. That's not all that this person can do. And they have their great influential voice. I think that's pretty key. I mean, to me, that like I said, that speaks volumes. Sometimes you even go as far as seeing the movie stars like the Jim Browns and the I can't really think of anybody offhand, but like some football players, Mango,
right?
Do other things. I think that's key. Kind of moving forward a little bit with that, along with what the media says, what are some of the negative things that you might see?
Of course, there's going to be the negatives going to be a little more zoomed in on. I would say, you know, I think the guy that shot his foot at the club, that got blown up quite big. Of course, with the dog fighting, that got blown up pretty big. And like I said, the last thing that I saw on the news was with Tiger Woods, and it seemed pretty small to me, but they definitely highlighted him simply just, you know, spitting on the golf course. So little issues, little small things get blown up pretty big, unfortunately, when it comes to the negative media.
I would definitely agree with that. And, you know, it's sad because it puts out an image like it's kind of expected. It's kind of expected. I think that's sad. Do you have a take on that, Ms. Oatmeal? Just the image of the negative image that most of the athletes are put on to? Or?
Well, I'm going to go with some of the positive images first because I didn't get a chance to expound on that. But, you know, it's like we kind of have to go back, not really with the athletes of today, maybe some of yesterday, like, you know, Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson. We know that they are like two big, major, big figures, you know, just worldwide, not even just in our community. You know, Magic Johnson has done so much in Los Angeles, California, you know, from movie theaters to, you know, Starbucks coffee and the 24-hour fitness, sports, Magic. That is awesome. And I know he has various charities and events that he, you know, funds and he sponsors and he puts on. You know, Michael Jordan as well. You know, he's one of the biggest. And, I mean, we all know, you know, what type of mogul he is. I mean, I can't even begin to break down all the avenues and all the things that, you know, he's been involved in and been such a huge, huge, you know, role model, regardless of his personal issues. And that's one thing that becomes the negative highlight
with our athletes. You know, the negative part comes into with their personal lives. And because they're on such a high level of scrutiny, you know, we begin to know all their business or some of their business or whatever the media chooses to put out there and blows up, you know. So, of course, I mean, if Tiger spits on the golf course, I mean, it's just blown out of proportion. You know, when there are other star athletes out there, they may do some terrible things, but we may not know about it. But the negative things definitely come from their personal lives, and we have to remember that the athletes are human. But the media,
right.
So they they blow it up, and that's just what they do. And, I mean, there's nothing that we can really do about it but just have an understanding that their personal lives are their personal lives and they're not free from flaws or free from, you know, being perfect because nobody's perfect.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an awesome topic tonight. The image of the black athlete, and I want to go to the phone lines, Natasha, Ms. Oatmeal, if you don't mind.
All right.
Let's get the party going. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. Here on the online happy hour, here in Dallas, Texas, we have that man, Mr. Big Ray. Ray, you on the line?
Yes, sir. Andy Brown. How's everybody going? This is Big Ray at BigRayInternational.com and ChosenOneSports.com. I have a great night here. I was listening and chiming in, and I got a few comments I want to make. First of all, okay, the media want to portray athletes for negative things. Same man that they was knocking for dog fighting. They done put on the news how he came here to Dallas in the snow and went around to the Boys and Girls Clubs and made the kids feel like something could be a promise. Now, he could have easily made an excuse and said, hey, well, it's snow and ice out there. But he had somebody get in a four-wheel drive vehicle and go around and meet the kids who mean a lot to him just to give him an image and a positive word just because, you know, he gave his word. You know, that means a lot. A lot of times, people are products of the environment. A lot of the accidents, association, observations, and teaching. Everybody, you know, was created equal, but not necessarily given equal opportunity. And a lot of times, people in urban settings, they have limited resources or not exposed to as much. So they think the only way out is sometimes jump a sling crack rock. With the jump shot, the 80-yard bomb down the sideline. A lot of them don't know, hey, I can go in these other avenues, and I can see this is way out. Another thing, as far as the financial, what they don't tell you coming in is that 3 years after you get out the league, you're still in the 50% tax bracket. And 5 years out the league, you're back to regular person status. Everybody think you multimillionaire Mike. The same people talking about you be the same ones come with their hands out talking about so-and-so, such-and-such make all that money. He need to come give us some of that money. What they don't understand is he got to put that money up, take care of his family, and live off of. Expect the lifespan of a pro football player is maybe 2 to 5 years. Okay, NFL stands for not for long. What are you going to do after that?
Right. Right. So why are they painting this image? I mean, what's going on? Can y'all help me understand that? Why is this image?
Tell you what, I'm in the media. They paint that image, sell more magazines, get more subscriptions, get more people, drive their ratings up. So-and-so, such-and-such did this. I'm going to give you a prime example. The man that did the dogs, yeah, it was bad, but what they don't tell you, they got people that ran people over and got off. They got athletes that shot people point-blank range and got off. But they're not still hopping on that 2-3 years later.
Hmm.
I mean, understand. Also, what they got to remember, sports, it's a gladiator sport a lot of times. And men, we're natural conquerors and we're competitors. We have an innate need to compete and win and conquer. It's a built-in function.
Absolutely. That's real talk. Natasha, I know you're sitting back like, wow.
Yeah, I am. That's true. That's all true. I agree with them.
Now, have you seen any of this firsthand, maybe in some of the people that you're training or maybe in previous things that you've done?
Mr. Brown, I recruit the game. I see it on all levels. We do from peewee to pros. I see it.
Okay. Okay. Hold on for me 1 second, Ray. Natasha, could you answer that for me, please?
Oh, have I seen it? I haven't seen it firsthand. I wouldn't say I've seen it firsthand,
okay.
Fortunately. Just what the media displays.
Okay. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, this is just some dynamic conversation we're having right now. Ray, stick on the line with Natasha, myself, and Ms. Oatmeal. I want to go back to the phone lines and keep the party going because it's an itchy topic, and we got to scratch this one tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the image of the black athlete, and I want to bring somebody on the line. Looks like they've been waiting for a while. We have a caller here out of Dallas, Texas, that wants to chime in with us. Caller, are you there? Phone number ending in 2932?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Who's on the line with us tonight?
This is Henry Johnson. We get it now for athletics. And I want to chime in and get you guys my little feedback on it. One thing I will have to say, a lot of the image is basically, to me, I want to say it's completely self-imposed, but a lot of it starts, I mean, from the house. You got to look at the house where everything is going. I mean, don't tell your kids, hey, you can be like Mike, and then just pay for him to go to a training session and don't go watch him and don't make sure he's getting done, everything's done properly. Don't tell your kid he can be like Magic and you don't know what's going on at school. You don't know, you know, hey, when your son's not at home, you know, he's acting a fool up at school, but football Friday nights, oh, man, he's the all-star. You know, so you got, I mean, of course we got to still point the finger at ourselves, but you also got to look at the media, how they do a lot of the stories. If you think about it, I mean, look at the Ben Roethlisberger story. I mean, this guy got away with it one time, then got away with it twice, and still played in the Super Bowl, and that was not blowed up like Mike Vick down here, like Big Ray was saying, Mike Vick down here, you know, getting the key to the city, you know, helping kids out, building hope, but yet and still they blow that story up like it's a negative thing. I mean, I think a lot of times what we need to do, I mean, I don't know if BET has any effect on and a lot of black people or not, but I think they should come back with some type of a venue that or news that has something to go against what Fox is doing. Because Fox News is, I don't know.
Right.
Fox News is a really big problem. I think Fox is deals with a lot of different racism, which I hate to bring another network up, but I'm just trying to keep it real 100 here. And a lot of the kids that are here, go ahead.
No, he's saying as you should. You know,
no,
that was, you're right. You're right on the money. I remember when, this has nothing to do with sports, but when Michael Jackson died, man, they was ripping him up. But then after, you know, it's going to be a concert. You know, hey, it's going to be a lot of live performances. I mean, they really just made it out to be something that it obviously didn't turn out to be.
If you think about it, his death was a cash cow for the media because a lot of them got viewers off of that. They played his videos nonstop, back to back to back. You know, none of that was actually given back. You know, I wonder how much of that was given back to his mother, to his family. You know, and now they're actually selling the This Is It on the Wii, and a lot of kids are buying it. I mean, my kids, I got a 5- and a 3-year-old, and they know every Michael Jackson song. I can't believe it.
That's
so, hey, I just want to chime in. Y'all think it's awesome what y'all doing here, man. But one thing, like I was saying, man, people, you got to look. You got to be able to. Why call my business Get It Now Athletics? Because I know everybody, and I'm sure you guys know somebody that would say, if I'd have known then what I know now.
Mm.
You know,
right.
And a lot of the kids that I deal with, that I train and stuff, I try to let them know, hey, you can. I'm trying to get you the then. I'm giving you that now. You know, and a lot of those people, a lot of us, we don't give that back to the kids. We don't tell, hey, you know what? Yeah, you can come out here and I can show you this, you know, and I can show you that. But then afterwards, I'm going to sit down with you and I need to go over some of your homework. Let me show you an easier way. I'm showing you an easier way to work out and get better, but I need you to show you an easier way to make it more comprehensive for you to study and be a little bit smarter. So that way, like Big Ray was saying, when you finish playing sports, when you're done doing all the activities that you could possibly do because of your age, you got something to fall back on, you know? A lot of people don't have that.
Real talk, bro. I definitely thank you for calling in, man. Stay tuned for many more shows and follow us on Facebook as well, man. It's How Was Your Weekend? Was spelled with a Z. It's all one word.
I do.
What's up, man? Thanks for calling in. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking tonight about the topic, the image of the black athlete, and we are joined tonight by a fantastic woman, Ms. Natasha Renette, myself, along with Ms. Omil Brown with the Realness One-on-One, ladies and gentlemen. We're just keeping it real. It's been fantastic.
Well, I want to go ahead and say one more thing about what the gentleman just spoke on. He was talking about BET backing us up, you know, with positive light. And I watch BET still to this day. I've been an avid watcher since the 80s, since they started. And they did have let Michael Vick have a reality TV show when he got out. You know, if I hope everybody remembers that. And, you know, he was basically trying to get himself back together or what have you, and was very apologetic for the things that he did. And you see he was able to, you know, he's coming out of it, you know, and doing a great job. So I definitely want to give some shout-outs to BET, because if we truly watch it, you will see that, you know, we're just a cultured people, you know, and we do so many things and have so many different talents. And talented individuals, and we can't just look at, you know, the negative booty shake stuff that they do show, because they show that. But, you know, they show other things as well, and they really pay homage and give us honor as a people. So I would like to truly encourage everyone to continue to watch it and just be open mind to the positive images and the positive shows and things that they do show. And to also go on to say, he was speaking about them being, you know, continuing their education, and education being a major, major, major part in, you know, even being an athlete. Yeah, I think, you know, the young kids need to understand that you still have to be a business person. You still have to be a businessman or a businesswoman. You need to know, you know, what kind of contracts that you're going to sign. You need to know how much money and the percentages that you're going to receive. You know, how much money you get up front. Do you get money up front? You know, how much does your agent get? All these things are going to be important, but if you don't have an education, it's going to be hard for you to understand what's going on. You may be bamboozled. And then once you get in, you know, if you start spending all your money on cars and rims and chains and houses, and then you get hurt, then what happens? You know, so education is definitely important, you know, for our athletes as well. And, you know, our children need to be taught that on that level so they'll understand and then even want to, you know, be enlightened and learn.
Okay.
And I could follow up on that definitely, especially with what Ms. Oatmeal was saying. I started off, I was exposed to other things, and that's how I actually got into personal training. At first I did want to do the pro basketball player, go to the WNBA, and once I got exposed to other things and learned that, hey, I could make money other ways, I started personal training. But I did, at a young age, put college on the back burner. And it wasn't until I ruptured my Achilles tendon, couldn't walk, couldn't drive, that I started valuing the education again, because those clients that are with you when you're on 2 feet, you know, it might not be the same when you can't actually stand up and work. So having that education and being able to do something else has been a huge asset for me going back and finishing my degree. So that is very important. You just never know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to get injured or if you're going to get into a car wreck. And if you're, you know, just focused on sports, the injury can happen at any time. And young people need to remember that. So education, there's no price you can put on that.
Well, I mean, even looking at that, I mean, that's a subject we need to talk about as well. You know, as far as the school systems are concerned, are we teaching the children – you know, are we teaching athleticism over education in our schools for black Americans?
I don't know what they're doing today, honestly. <Yeah. laughs> I could, you know, elaborate when, you know, we were in high school, you know, it was kind of like, well, it was supposed to be, if you didn't have the grade point average, then you couldn't participate, you know, and I saw that occur. But once I got to college, you know, I heard stories about, you know, some of the athletes' grades being changed, you know, so they can play, et cetera. So I don't know if education is pushed on the same level. I've heard some stories of people that, you know, were great, great basketball players, and their grades were terrible, and, you know, they got put off the team, you know, their senior year. So they quit school. So, you know, school was bad, and then, you know, their goal, their dream to be in the NBA.
Okay. You know, I've seen it too. Some of the people that I played with in high school and also at the collegiate level, you know, it gets kind of crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring another person on the line, if you don't mind. We're going to go all the way up to Michigan, and I know Ray is still listening. Ray, hold on the line, man. I got to bring it on to Miss Nikki. She always keeps it 100 on the show tonight up in Detroit. I hope it's not still snowing up there. Nikki, you on the line?
Hey, guys. No, it is not still snowing, although we are expecting like 5 inches again on Saturday. So.
See, just move.
Wow.
Just move.
I know.
Just move. Just whatever you're
I know,
doing,
man.
Pack a bag and come on, you know.
Well, if she comes here, I mean, it's going to be a little better, but, you know.
I know, right?
And wind going on this week, supposedly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the deal of it is you can drive on a paved road that's wet, that may be a little hot outside. You know, you may get, you know, some flagrant hurricanes here and there, but that passes. But that ice, that's not any cause that I've known, man. That's not normal. That's backwards, but sidetracking off of that. Nikki, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, have you seen the school systems and what we're teaching these children nowadays as far as what the black athlete is concerned? Are they more focused on teaching children to be athletic, or are they teaching them more or less, you know, to, you know, make good grades? I mean, what's going on?
I don't actually think it's one way or the other. To me, it boils down to, you know, the parents. And if education is not at the forefront of, you know, your agenda as a parent, it doesn't matter what your child goes to school to learn or, you know, or not learn. And so for me, I mean, I have a 5-year-old son, but he's been in school since he was 3. He's in a Montessori school, which is a private school. And, you know, when he gets ready to go into first grade and so on and so forth, moving forward, education is at the head of my agenda. So I don't care what he's athletically gifted to do. Education is first and foremost in this household. Now, if it just so happens that he is this, you know, excellent running back, or he's this, you know, fantastic point guard, or, you know, soccer player, hockey player, whatever. Whatever he's going to be athletically gifted to do, that's secondary, because education is first. And so when we see, like, I take LeBron James, for example. I mean, LeBron has been being scouted since he was, what, 12, 13 years old? So, I mean, that's very rare that you find someone with athletic ability at the age of 11 or 12 when Nike's knocking on your door at that age. You pretty much know where you're going to go at that point or what the agenda is. But, you know, in regards to the image and what people see, the media, an image is nothing more than something that's projected. So the media apparently is showing us, one, what we like, and two, we don't mind seeing. So I don't really get caught up in the whole, you know, athletes do this, athletes don't do that, because a lot of them do a lot of good. But at the end of the day, I mean, we apparently don't mind seeing it because they keep showing it. And then, you know, so for me, it's just, again, back to household and, you know, back to what's important at that family root. And if education is not important, you know, sports will end up being what they focus on, or the streets or whatever. So it just depends on the parents.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to agree and disagree with that comment, and I'm going to tell you why. Because sometimes, and for those who are sitting at home, and I know I'm going to have a few single parents listening in, you may want to put your child away for this one right here. Because sometimes, more often than not, when there's a financial struggle in the household and things aren't really going the way you anticipated to go, it's the media, like you said, Nikki, that can kind of encourage that. But sometimes I think we as a country look for the right now, get me out of debt situation. And instead of really pushing our children to focus on the lifelong values of having their own business and having their own education and doing things, what it takes to build a legacy, the pattern sometimes is to allow that young man or that young girl to push for the athleticism because it pays quick, it pays early, and we can get out of this financial situation. So you may have some single parents, some single moms, who, if the father's not in the household, and it may be a struggle to really tell that young man how to become a man, you may end up pushing him to be the athlete because once he's the athlete, he can become a man and take care of all of us, like the void of the missing male figure is in the household. And I think that can be a lot of pressure for a young man to want to do that and take care of their mother. I think that is a repeated pattern that we see time and time again. And it installs in children, especially young men, that if I can't become an athlete, then there's nothing else for me to do. Agree or disagree with that comment, if you wouldn't mind, Natasha?
I could see that. I could see that easily. I would agree that sometimes you might see your child's talented and you might see them as the way out, and maybe inadvertently you push them in that direction. So I can agree with that comment.
Okay. Ms. O'Meal?
I would have to agree as well. I mean, that definitely can happen in some households, you know. Parents aren't always, you know, the greatest business mind, you know. You have to take a look at what they learned and what their values are, you know. So, I mean, they could be putting all their hopes and wishes and things of that nature into their child,
mm-hmm.
you know, to save the day.
So, I mean, where do we really go from there? I mean, if this is some type of a pattern, and, you know, the majority of us who are on the line, I know we can remember the old commercial with Charles Barkley that says, "I am not a role model." And if you don't have that male role model in the household to look at, then what is this new athlete, what is the athlete looking at as far as a man? I mean, what is this young man looking at, or what is this young lady looking at as far as a male figure? Because predominantly you'll see most black men that are in power or that have status, if not in the music industry, but they're athletes. And sometimes we may be setting the bar maybe 10 feet right at the rim. So if you can't hit the rim and you can't dunk, then it's just going to be a problem for you growing up. Sad to say, but it's a painted and tainted reality. I'd like the men to kind of help me out on this. Ms. Ray, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Andy, a lot of times it boils down to a situation or circumstance. You got to look at people's background and dispensation. 70% of all black male athletes come from a single-parent household. Growing up as a young man, it's an innate awareness in him to take care of his family. And most of all of us taught to love mom and take care of mom. Now, main reason you get educated is learn how to get a trade, a skill, so you can take care of yourself and make money. Basically, what it boils down to, economics is a nation control the situation. Okay, a lot of these sports, they're multi-billion-dollar a year entities. Even in high school, middle school, they do these large Christmas tournaments, bring in large thousands of dollars. When it gets to high school, we got high school stadiums here in Texas, $15, $20 million. Sometimes a kid leaves high school from Texas, goes off to college, takes a step down. The money they're bringing in can carry a whole school, carry a whole budget, and pay for a staff. A lot of people are not looking at what they're bringing in versus what's going out. Now, I'm a firm believer in educator because I'm an educator. And you have to get it. But like this parent said up at Ohio State, they had a son that was a junior, and they weighing whether to jump pro or can take the money now or wait an extra year. They're like, well, hey, we send the school to make money. They're going to give him a $2.5 million signing bonus, which is right now. Well, if he stayed in school when he got a regular job, it would take him about 20, 30 years to make $2.5 million. So right now, he's ahead of the game. Also, in the education realm, even on the collegiate level, as long as they win and they're grinning, the smiles keep flowing, the funds continue flowing. I went to maybe 3-4 more schools. One of the programs I went to, they used to have the largest following of historical black colleges. They fell off this year, had the worst season ever. They went from 35,000 plus attendance to 8,000. Think how much money was lost.
Wow.
And they played on Thanksgiving every year.
Wait, hold on. What did you say?
I said they play around Thanksgiving weekend every year.
Oh, my God. They touched the nerve, ladies and gentlemen. Natasha, this is how we get down here on the happy hour.
I see.
This is real talk.
Well, I want to speak on, this is Oatmeal, I want to speak on it being situational and Big Ray stated that, you know, most of the athletes are coming from the single-parent households. Well, I'm going to put Tiger Woods out there and Kobe Bryant. Okay, they didn't come from a single-parent household. Actually, Kobe Bryant's parents, I mean, hey, this dude knows how many languages, you know? And he might be cocky, but does he have a reason to be? I mean, this dude has his business on and his athleticism on, you know. So, I mean, but we really don't have too many situations like that. But, I mean, there are some out there, but, hey, they've been torn down by the media as well.
Nikki, what is your take on this, what we're saying tonight?
I actually agree with Ms. Oatmeal just based on the fact that it's only situational because that's the environment that the parents created for themselves. Whether it was lack of opportunity or lack of resources, there are a ton of NBA players who don't come from single-parent households who actually come from affluent backgrounds. Shane Battier, Grant Hill. There was a point guard that used to play for the Chicago Bulls. I can't remember his name. Point guard, had a nice three. I mean, there are tons of NBA players that don't fit the stereotypical mold of, you know, the single struggling black mama who, you know, happened to have birth a son that's going to be 6'4". There are tons of them. So we can step away from the whole, you know, situational and it being financial. That's not even a situation. That's a mentality. Because anytime you put your son at the forefront to bear the brunt of taking care of a household, that's a mentality. My son didn't ask to come here. So it's my job as a parent to make sure I give him everything he needs to survive in this world. Whether or not he be athletically inclined, I'm going to be all right by the time he turns 18 anyway. I'm not going to need anything for my son. And I do realize that not everybody comes from that situation or those resources, but at the end of the day, the roles, for whatever reason, have reversed. And this whole thing of, you know, even kids who aren't rich. And I have a lot of associates and friends who are taking care of their parents. Just because they were the ones who went to college and, you know, make a decent salary, all of a sudden you find that, you know, you taking care of mama. So at the end of the day, that's the mentality. And it's a pretty, you know, blanketed statement to say, you know, that's what the majority of the NBA is. Yeah, you have those people, but you also have kids who go, you know, they may not be the starting five or whatever, the big marquee player, but you got some bench riders who went, did their 4 years of school, came out and got drafted or went to go play overseas. So let's not use that and say that's, you know, the majority of the NBA. Hell, only 3% of the population actually have the adequate height to play. So we're not talking significant numbers here.
Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to get back to the phone lines. Y'all know how I do. When it stirred the pot up in this coffee, man, it's hot, and it's time to keep on drinking. Nikki, we're going to stay up there where you're at in Michigan and take it to the 313. We have a caller that's on the line who's been anxiously waiting to talk. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in the show tonight, 646-727-3279. Press option 1. We'll know that you're ready to chime in. And follow us on howwasyourweekend.com, also Facebook as well, because after the show, we're going to straight walk over to Facebook and keep the party going. But in the meantime, we have a call on the line with the 313. Your last numbers are ending in 9688. Who's on the line with us tonight?
That would be me. I'm David. Listen, I wanted to just wade in. A couple of things I wanted to say. First of all, you know, when you look at black athletes in general, they represent a very small microcosm of a community. And when you really sort of step back and look at it and project on it, what you see is you see a very limited in scope of individuals who have ascended to that marquee of athleticism, and being able to be paid for it is even more handsome. And when you really kind of go back and look at it from a collegiate standpoint, to be a scholar athlete is the highest calling that anybody can endeavor. I mean, you're a scholar athlete. I mean, you're expected to be a student, and you're expected to be an athlete, and you're expected to play at the highest level of athletics, in particular to Division I. But when we really look at, let's say, how we visualize or how we begin to tailor or come up with the image of a black athlete, you know, we forget, and it's not as sexy and alluring to talk about people like Deion Branch, who has a foundation, an outreach foundation out in Seattle, where he gives back to the Children's Hospital, Kevin Durant, Jamal Crawford, Ray Allen, who has a foundation, the Ray of Hope, and he's a big, big, big-time sponsor and investor of Boys and Girls Clubs. And we forget about people like Rashard Lewis. So we talk about, you know, people that habitually get in trouble, but it's not, these individuals are not going to make the headline news. But I would say, and I would venture to say, if you agree or disagree, that a large majority of athletes, be it NFL, baseball, or basketball, these are good law-abiding individuals, and these are people who did their time. You might have, you know, I'll call them outliers who, you know, make the headlines because if you get in trouble, you shoot yourself in the leg or you're involved in criminal involvement, of course. That's going to, you know, the media is standing there and they're waiting. And I think that once you walk into that arena, it's almost like I think we've all, you remember this, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest, and then 7 days later they were saying crucify him.
You coming real with it tonight, bro. Hello? David? Is he there?
I'm still here. Are you there?
Okay. I thought we lost you, man. You must have a Sprint cell phone or something.
I don't know what it is. But, I mean, that's just the way, you know, that's the way it's an old saying. The more things change, the more they remain the same. And that's society. You know, that's the principles of society. That's the one thing you got to understand. That they may love you one day, and they're calling for, you know, crucifixion.
Wow. Good night, Natasha.
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah, chime in. What are your thoughts? I mean, I know we're keeping it real tonight. It's all about the image of that black athlete. You know, whether you were one or have seen one or no, I mean, just especially, you know, you being a former basketball player, you know, maybe you can chime in on this as well from the, what female athletes go through.
You know, when it comes to the female athlete, one, we're not on the TV as much. WNBA games, you don't even hardly know the season. If they do play, it's usually at 3 a.m. So I want to say that the media is maybe as harsh on them as maybe the male athletes because they're the ones that do get the television play and exposure. But I will say when it comes around to the Olympics, we know that, you know, Marion Jones took it pretty hard. They got her pretty good with the media. So I think with the male...
David, thanks for calling. I want to get to Nikki as well, but David, I appreciate you calling in. For those who don't know, kind of elaborate on what happened with Marion Jones, because I think it was tripped out.
You know, from what I recall from that story was that I think she was taking a supplement that did have some kind of steroid or some kind of illegal agent in it, and she lied about it at first, and I think that's where she That was the first hit. And then when she came clean on it, of course, you know, then the media really hit her. And she did her time in jail. I think it was, 6 months or so, if I'm not mistaken. And I think she was even on the Monique show the other night talking about it. But that's what happened. She took an illegal substance or a performance-enhancing drug, I should say, that landed her in jail, gave her time for that. And they put her in one of the hardest jails to top it off. It wasn't even one of the cush ones. It was a rough one. So, yeah, they gave it to her pretty hard. They hit her pretty hard. I guess maybe they wanted to make an example out of her. I'm not sure why they chose the institution that they put her in, but that's what happened with Marion Jones.
Wow. Man, it's a trip what we as a people have to go through, you know, just when you may need to get, for what others get, a slap on the wrist, you know, that exposure just because you are the black athlete is crazy.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andy.
Oh, was she from Detroit? I'm going to always mess with you about Detroit, man, because it's so cold in the deep.
Oh, cut it out. I didn't even say that on the air. But, no, I was going to say that, and that's, I'm sure that is the side of the whole realm, the business realm of athletics, because this is a billion-dollar industry. Let's not get it twisted. It may be entertaining, but there is so much money wrapped up in these athletes and these endorsements and these sponsorships that, you know, it is big business. And I think that what we don't understand as a people is, you know, this is one of the first generations where we are, you know, middle class based on income alone. So this has been a long time coming for us where we have access to this type of wealth. But what we have to remember is that while, you know, Kobe may be getting his $20, $30 million contract deal, what is the owner of the team making if he can pay Kobe $20, $30 million? So there's a level of finance that we as black people aren't even privy to. And so what we have to remember is that they're just the players on the floor. They're not the big wigs in the office making decisions. So I'm sure there's some tension, you know, and just some things that come along with that lifestyle that we'll never understand. We'll never be privy to how it actually goes down. We'll never be privy to the way decisions are made and, you know, the business aspects and the functions and things like that. So I'm sure for as much as negative press that they get, there has to be a side of that whole entertainment business that, you know, that's a lot of pressure. You got to go out there and perform. You got to perform. You got to earn this salary that everybody claims you're not even worthy of. And then you still got to deal with racism. I refuse to believe that racism does not exist in the NBA. Hell, they just started letting us play in the league, what, 1960-something? So, I mean, my gosh, what are they really actually dealing with as black athletes outside of the notoriety and the whole, you know, what we think their life is? It's a lot more that goes with it.
And I could definitely agree with you, Nikki, but I want to say that, I mean, we have to look at the big picture here. I mean, we are really the best athletes. I mean, not that any other culture, race, or background is not good, but, I mean, you got to
take a look at it. No, that's why they came and got us.
I mean, who would have thunk, you know, if that were a word, that Venus and Serena would have been taking over tennis like that? I mean,
man.
Really. Was playing golf the way that he did, you know. So I mean, boxing, you know, and basketball and football. I mean, we really the major sports. I mean,
yeah.
We're really the ones that are the best athletes. I mean, as a whole. I mean, you look at the basketball team. Some of the basketball teams even just started in high school, and you can count. Depends on what neighborhood you're in. Backgrounds and cultures are on the team. You know,
you are exactly right. No doubt about it. And it doesn't even take a lot of us to do it. I mean, like you said, Venus and Serena are getting it in. I mean, they've won more Wimbledon and more, you know, tournaments than, you know, most of the people, you know, in the field of tennis. I mean, Tiger Woods, what? I mean, he's one man. Venus and Serena, two sisters. I mean, we dominate. No matter how many of us it is, we dominate. And so what we have to also remember is that we're not supposed to be there. You know, we're not supposed to be at the country club. You know, there's still some country clubs that are exclusive, still don't allow black people to have memberships. We're not supposed to be there. Venus and Serena are not supposed to be over in Wimbledon, England. They're not supposed to be there. So we have to understand that along with that, there's going to come, you know, some resentment. There's going to come some, you know, snide remarks and snide comments. You know, I mean, what's the crazy guy's name? Play tennis, John McEnroe. He used to go off on the referee. Serena had one incident. I think that was in the media for like 3 weeks. One incident where she called the ref on some BS. John McEnroe throwing the rackets at people, because we have to remember that we're not supposed to be there. So the microscope is always going to be on us. I mean, that we'll take it as long as we keep getting them titles and championships.
And what was that guy said about the nappy-headed? What was that happened a couple of years ago?
Oh, you're talking about old boy on the radio. Nappy, he called them nappy-headed hoes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
We're still dealing with it.
So pressure.
You know, and speaking of pressure, you know, kind of piggybacking off what Nikki said, you know, what we're not supposed to do. You know, I'm thinking about this, especially about the image of the black athlete. When we talk about the Jesse Owens, the
what is his name? The Carl Lewis. I'm sorry, I forgot his name.
Running track too.
Yeah, Carl Lewis. And you've got the Michael Johnsons with the golden shoes. Who does this with golden shoes anyway? A man wearing golden shoes, dog, you tripping. Straight up. But anyway, on the real, we're looking at, you know, maybe even Tyson Gaze and how that, what we're not supposed to do, performance-enhancing drugs have taken over sports, and they're pointing that blame at many black athletes to say that that's an issue. You know, maybe that, do we take them? Are they going a little above and beyond? I mean, what the things about Barry Bonds, you know, he's taking performance-enhancing drugs. Look at his head size growing so many times over. Or we may look at how many of Olympic athletes get banned from substance abuse and things of that nature. And, you know, abusing those things to, one, even make them better or just have a little stress relief at the end of the day. Now, I don't know if you may see this in some of your training, Natasha, but, you know, drugs play an impact in this as well. You know, and what's the use of, why would any athlete, if you're supposed to be above and beyond, need to take performance enhancers? And you may even see this in what you do as a trainer, you know, supplements and pills and things of that nature. Do you think, is that necessary to become a spectacular athlete?
No, I wouldn't say it's necessary, but I think the athletes might feel the pressure of competing with other athletes that are taking those drugs. It's an unlevel playing field in a sense. Not that I'm advocating that, because I'm not pro that, but perhaps they're taking it to keep up with the next person on the other team who's also taking it. And so until, I guess, it's better regulated and people aren't taking them, the next person's always trying to get ahead. And I could see that as a problem.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that. They talk about performance-enhancing drugs on the football field, track and field, you know, baseball, but I don't know if they talk about it too much in basketball. So let's ask the coach himself, the phenomenal phenom, Mr. Bobby Hill, who's on the line with us right now out of Dallas, Texas as well, ladies and gentlemen. Bobby, you on the line with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Talk to us a little bit about it now. I know you've been listening to the show. You know, performance-enhancing drugs for the image of the black athlete, is that necessary?
No, it's not. It's not. And I can tell you a prime example of that. You remember Hank Aaron's, our first, if I'm not mistaken, he still holds the home run record. I don't think they had that type of stuff when he was around. I mean, right. It was straight natural. This guy had to deal with some of the, I know us as athletes these days, man, we say we deal with so much, but, you know, it's, in a sense, it's minute to what he had to do and go through, because this man is up here, man, just dealing with racism and everything, man. I mean, and he had more pressure. And actually, you know, he produced, and
right.
He was never nothing like that. And it's not necessary. I think we just get caught up into, you know, external things that really don't even make it. They shouldn't even count, man. I mean, if this dude can do it, Babe Ruth, those guys can do it. Why we can't do it in this era? We have more trainers. We know more techniques. We know a lot of stuff. The technology era is way, way more advanced than it was back then.
Right. That's real talk. Now, Bobby, you yourself play basketball. Bring us, for those who may not know who you are, kind of tell the folks who you are a little bit about yourself so we can kind of let them see how this next question is going to approach you.
I'm actually originally from East Texas. I went to Tyler Jean College. Yes, I am an Apache. Went there for 2 years. Actually, to be open with you, I went to TJC on an academic scholarship first. I didn't get an athletic scholarship. I didn't get that when I first went there. I had to earn it in my second year. And I went there for 2 years. My second year, I was All-American. I was actually signed. I was one of the top 50 JUCO signees in the country. When I went there, I got offers from everywhere. I decided to go to Division I, Austin Peay State University. It was real successful. We won our conference, went to the NCAA tournament, won a ring, won a championship, and I moved on from that point on. and I went to play professionally overseas in a national basketball. In the meantime, while I had the overseas basketball team going, I was actually, I started my own entrepreneurship business, which empowers student athletes as well as basketball players. I mentor them and also strengthen their skills and their pursuits to go to that next level.
Okay. Now, that's awesome, man. It sounds like you've had a fantastic career and still are in just in the middle of a fantastic career as well. So in all your journeys in basketball, have you seen performance enhancement drugs like maybe some athletes try to use or think is necessary at all?
Right. Mm-hmm. I have. Because when I was actually in high school, I played football. I was actually, that was the thing I really loved was football. And I saw a lot of guys on the creatine and a lot of stuff like that. Now, I didn't see a lot of steroids, but I knew that was present based on the results and the time the results took place. So I knew that was present. It wasn't done in front of me, but come on now, you pretty much know that. I have seen it. And it gives you instantaneous results, but on the back end, it comes to show what it can do for you to hurt your body.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know this topic is real talk. You know, we're talking about the image of the black athlete, and we've had callers chime in from all over the country. And I want to just go ahead and let you know we talking real. This is real talk. This is how we get down each and every week. A different hot topic. We're focusing on these topics because it is Black History Month. And, you know, we do get down with some off-the-wall topics, but keep in mind we need to know about us as a people, you know, what we're saying to our children, what we're saying to our community, what we're saying on the media. This is just real talk. I mean, this is just one avenue of it. And we've talked about the image. We're talking about the drugs, the media. I mean, there's a price to pay with that lifestyle, man, and a lot of men think that, you know, hey, sex is inevitable. It's coming from each everywhere you look because women are going to come flock to you. They got the mindset is if I can play ball, I'm going to get the women. If I play football, I'm going to get the women because, you know, the media's portraying that, but you also see that early on in high school, and young men stick to this because the girls are starting to flock to them. You know, that's just, I mean, what image are we really putting out there? Is this necessary? I mean, ladies, I want to hear from the ladies. What's the interest in the athletes and not the nerds? What's up with that? Tell the men tonight so we can understand. What's the attraction with the athlete and not the nerd? Natasha, where you at?
I can come at me with that one. I think I heard Nikki coming in on that one.
I would say maybe the strength. You know, the strength that we may see. It all depends on what it is. You know, football, basketball. I mean, just the attraction of how this person plays, you know, can reel you in. I mean, anybody with power and money, whether they're an athlete or not, may be attracted to a female, you know, but the athlete that is say, for instance, Dwight Howard, you know, I'm really not a fan of his, but I know a lot of people who are, you know. I do like his arms, you know. I do like his physique. I think his arms are just ridiculous, you know. They look like mechanical arms, like somebody just placed them on his body and they don't belong there, you know. But, I mean, I don't really see anything that's different from an athlete that's from a celebrity, you know, or you know, somebody who sings or somebody in another media light. I mean, you know, the younger generations. I mean, even back in the day, yeah, there's always been groupies and, you know, those who want to follow the athlete. But I think it's because, you know, it shows some sort of strength. You know, some type of, you know, He-Man power. And, of course, we're attracted to that. That's from my point of view. You know, a guy being smart is cool, you know, but you see him reading the book. you know, the nerd, he's reading the book. But then you see the athlete, Duncan, you know.
Can't read, ladies and gentlemen. Can't read it all, but he can dunk a basketball. I can't believe it. Natasha, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I think, I mean, physical appearance, you know, just like, you know, with any guy that sees a woman, you know, we see a guy with muscles glistening and sweat dripping, it just looks good. It just looks good, you know. I mean, personally, you want a smart jock. You don't want a dumb jock. So, I mean, there are, you know, we still have our preferences and, you know, there's still, you know, things that are necessary. But definitely the appearance, I mean, that's the first thing you see. You can't see their brain, but you can definitely see their physique. So I'm going to go with that.
What?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You guys may see females that are attractive, and then they open their mouth and be like, oh, man, wow. Well,
see?
If the nerd is not out, he's not. I mean, he's doing his thing, reading his books. And I'm trying to pick up for the nerd because we're talking about the image of the black athlete. We can go over to the nerd side for a little while because, I mean, there may be a few nerds on the line right now or former nerds. Y'all did your thing back in the day. You just couldn't ball back then, and that's okay. So if he was abbed up, you know, everything, because all he can do is just do sit-ups and play with chemicals and stuff in the room because he can't run, you know, 4-4-40, and nobody wants to pick him on the team. He's just in the house just doing sit-ups, and his abs are as tight as Natasha's. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this.
Oh, no.
You need to go to the, if you're in the chat room, go to the blog. Blogtalkradio.com, how was your weekend, spell was with a Z, and check out her abs. Go to the link that says Natasha Renette, and look at the abs on her, ladies and gentlemen. That, yeah, that's, it can happen. So, sidetracking from that, what if he's cut up, and the nerd looks good, and the athlete who just has one notepad for seven classes, because he can write and remember everything in that one notebook, because he's just dumb as rock.
See, you're saying a well-built nerd. You know, at first you just said nerd, okay? We all look, the first thing we see with one another is what we look like on the outside, okay? So if there's an athletic nerd, we're not going to turn him down. We're going to look at him, too.
Lord have mercy.
Hey, Andy?
Yes, sir.
Let me say one thing about it, because what I really noticed about athletes, and I can say about men and women, that especially like what I've noticed about women is they like your influence. I think one thing a woman knows is when a man has influence. And if a dude can come in and do half the work and still get an A, they'll kind of be like, dang, how he get to do that? He has influence. Whereas he can go in the store and get something for free where everybody else got to pay. That's not natural. That's different. And women like somebody that's different. And when a dude has that type of influence, he's really noticed around us. Like people know, oh yeah, that's such and such, man. Oh yeah, I know him. Wow, everybody knows him. They have influence. And people are always attracted to people with influence, like LeBron. He has influence. He can do a lot of things. He's a good businessman. Jay-Z, you can go across the board, not just athletics, but athletes, we have a special influence to appease and to appeal to people. That's one thing that we do have, hands down. We experience what others don't, and that's going to put you at a different platform, at a different stage, and that's going to show that you're different in a good way.
Woo-hoo, he's got a point. Real quick, Ray, I know you've been on the line, man. You want to chime in on that one to follow up with what Bobby said?
Well, take it from the basic to the complex. In the basic, they like their strength and stamina. Average athlete, better shape, got longer wind, and a little more aesthetically pleasing to the eye, if you will, versus a regular guy. Like Bobby said, they have influence. They're also what you call opinion leaders. And, you know, a lot of times people want what others have or what others, you know, adore. You know, some people even make idols out of them. I'm not advocating to make an idol of an athlete, but, you know, they attract a larger crowd.
All right. Well, real talk, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the image of the black athlete. I hope y'all enjoying yourselves tonight. Let's go back to the phone lines, if you don't mind. Get somebody to chime in on the topic that we're discussing, which is the image of the black athlete. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. Join me in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend. Spell was with a Z. Let's keep it here in Texas. Bring it out to Funky Town, Fort Worth. We have a call on the line. Phone number ending in 3143. You're on the line, caller. Who is this?
Hey, this is comedian Mama Michelle, and I'm listening to, like, this show, and it is really, really awesome. Actually, I have an athlete calling me right now, so let me hang up on him real quick. There, he's hung up on. You know, to think that athletes are so gifted and so blessed and have all that influence and affluence, you'd think they'd be, you know, kind of, you know, a little more open to, you know, the public and the image that they create. I mean, like, you have all these little boys, and me being the parent of two, always wanting to be exactly like these very affluent athletes. I know they do a little, some things in within their own community, but I'd just like to see, you know, why don't athletes come out more and really, you know, help, you know, kind of guide the youth, because whether you want to idolize them or not, you do.
You got a good point. That kind of goes back to the whole role model thing. I want to thank you for calling. What was your name again? I'm sorry.
My name is Michelle.
Michelle, thanks so much for calling. I appreciate that comment. That's a good point she brings up. Why aren't they, you know, giving more in the community? Is it because of they've seen or...
Well, I just so happen to see, I mean, you know, living in Dallas, I do see some of our black athletes doing big things in the community. I see Jason Terry doing things. I see Martellus Bennett doing things. I see their little commercials on the television. I've actually been to a couple of their functions. I just don't think that everybody is aware or paying attention or gets much exposure.
Mm-hmm.
But they're definitely doing some things. I mean, if you want to find out, I mean, all it takes for you to do is Google, and it'll give you some things and give you some information on what they're actually doing. I just don't think that everybody is on the in the limelight with it.
Really?
You know, who's paying, who's actually paying for commercial spots or what have you, who's actually sponsoring them, you know, to have these commercials and to get the media exposure out there, you know, or is it just, you know, under radar?
Well, why aren't they out there? I mean, that's a good point. Bobby, you said you have the Passion for the Game?
Yes, sir. PassionForTheGame.com.
Tell us a little bit about that organization. So maybe those who don't know, like Ms. Michelle in Fort Worth, will know a little bit more about what you have going on.
Basically, what we do, we have a skills training program that actually teaches our clients the game of basketball. We build a foundation, and from there, we add skills on top of that. Also, another component of what we do, we also mentor our clients, which means my clients have access to me 24 hours a day. We have different functions, like we can have social events. Like, I have an annual event that I have my clients come to, where it's one time it was at CCP, so I basically rented that out and had my clients come out and actually get to know me more of a personal level and kind of get to know, like, it's like a boys and men talk. Because what I've really noticed is a lot of kids won't open up to mommy and daddy, and that's where our second voice comes in. And that's why we're so important, because if they won't tell you, they won't tell daddy. Sometimes they don't have anybody to tell, and they bottle it up for a long period of time. And when it comes out, it could just explode without any kind of control and just do some damage, more damage than it can do help.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Bobby's doing great things in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You mentioned some of the things, I mean, Ms. Oatmeal mentioned some of the things that are going on with some of the high-profile players such as the Jason Terrys here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Speaking of here in Dallas, Natasha, tell us a little bit more about your business and what you have going on with your personal fitness training.
Okay, definitely. The name of the company is Beyond Physical Fitness. If you get a chance, everybody go to beyondphysicalfitness.com and check that out. Basically, I do a lot with adults. I do a lot with children. Everything's geared towards exercise, whether it's weight training, boxing, running, agility, you know, sports-specific training, or just the average person that's coming in just trying to move around and get their diabetes under control or trying to get off of blood cholesterol medications. Everything regarding fitness and exercise is where I come in, and that's what I do right now. And it's typically around the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex is where I do most of my work.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I visited her site. It looks good to me. I'm all about supporting businesses. So if you need to get yourself in shape and you want to do a little bit better and you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, consider that. And I'm going to let you know, Natasha, I think it's great. I think we need to talk about you helping myself get into you've got a client with me tonight. So we'll sit down and talk, even though I have a very busy schedule. You know, we're going to show the people just how those results can work.
All right, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, when we're doing the live sets, ladies and gentlemen, know that the results you're about to see are going to be because of this lady's work ethic in providing that. Now, as far as the children, man, the children go here in the area. If your children is playing basketball and looking to do great things, you need to go on and see what Bobby's doing and have him be a part of, you know, letting your children see that. You know, his passion is in the game. His passion is for the game. So if you have passion to see your child go to the next level, why not support this man here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? I think it's a fantastic thing, Bobby, that you're doing, man. Always keep it up.
Appreciate it, man. I also want to another component that we do have, when our clients are actually in high school and they're doing good, they got to do good in the classroom as well as on the basketball court and in the community. What we do, I extend the opportunity to be seen by different college coaches. So I do recruitment as well for my clients. That just comes with the package. When you're my client and you're producing, I give you the opportunity to be seen by different college coaches for recruitment opportunities.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's incredible that big business is booming right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and especially right here on the online happy hour. This is how we get down, ladies and gentlemen. We do real things. We have real people chime in so we can build real communities back together. And I know Ray is on the line. He does his Chosen One Sports. Ray, you're still there. Talk a little bit about Chosen One Sports.
We're a sports marketing, media, and recruiting service. Main bulk of our business, we help high school, junior college athletes find college scholarships at junior colleges and four-year institutions, but we work with them from peewee to the pros. We help them from each level. Nowadays, you have to recruit them out of middle school. We do a lot of camps, clinics, and combines around the country. Also, in the off-season, I travel and work with night combines and camps where I come across a lot of great athletes. And what we do I'm gonna be working with a little league team, and they're gonna have a reality show following us around this fall called Field of Dreams. I'll be working with the Collin County Patriots. Anybody got any little kids they want to get on? They could look them up online and put them in. Also, we deal with a lot of college athletes. Now, with the college athletes, when they get ready to come out of college, a lot of them still could play. We try to plug them in on the pro level, arena, international. I also coach for Team USA, so I help a lot of them get on board and come play for the country. It's like an Olympic sport. We play in the World Cup games. A lot of people don't even know that they have football as a World Cup game, you know, just like they have basketball, swimming, softball, and other sports. But we help them on all levels. We also do image consulting. We help a lot of them to get endorsement and product deals. Well, we tell our clients and people subscribe to our service, don't wait till the tail end of your career to start a business. Right when you're coming into the pros, have your business. All them groupies and fans and people smiling in your face, don't turn them off. Have a card or something to put into their hand. Like, here, come by my spot. Come shop with us. Come check it out. We got something for you. You know, because, you know, while you got that day in the sun, you need to capitalize on it. As far as what they were talking about before is why a lot of them don't do more in the community. A lot of them do a lot of things in the community to a certain extent. But when you get to a certain level, you have to protect yourself because sometimes you get targeted. You might be trying to show a certain technique. And you might put your hand on. They might say you touched them a certain way where you're just trying to teach them a certain technique. Sometimes some of the mothers, they might come try to squeeze you a little too tight and get somebody to take a picture. And you know a lot of athletes have long arms. And, you know, women have to know how to strategically turn their body and twist a certain way where along a person over 6'4", their ear might end up in the hand. Next thing you know, oh, he touched me inappropriately. Now you got to go pay $25,000 or more out of court settlement for something you didn't do on purpose. You're just trying to give a fan a picture and help people, and that's what make it bad, the people who target people. They got a lot of women out there to target professional athletes trying to get paid by any means necessary.
Wow. Dude, that is so real. That is so real. Let's keep it real, y'all. I mean, Nikki, I know that you have your son up there. He may be ready for Chosen One Sports later on another time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, at this point, I'm just kind of, you know, letting him, you know, participate in whatever. Whatever he shows interest in, that's what I'm pushing him towards. You know, last week it was karate. Next week it'll probably be football. So whatever he is interested in, you know, I'm going to just make sure I give him the tools so he can do whatever, you know, he's interested in. And whatever it may be, if he has the talent for it, then definitely I'll be looking for those different avenues so that I can direct him, you know, to, the, you know, the appropriate persons or the resources. So.
Okay. BlogTalkRadio.com, ladies and gentlemen. This is how we do. We keep it real. And speaking of keeping it real, Ms. Oatmeal Brown is with the Realness 101, ladies and gentlemen.
I just have one last thing to say and to put some enlightenment on is, you know, one thing that does disappoint me with some of our athletes that work so hard to get to that status and, you know, to play professionally and then mismanage their money. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure some of us know somebody that used to play and they got hurt, you know, and when they started playing, they didn't invest their money right, or they had the big entourage around them that were there just take, or the family members that are there just taking, and they're not making any investments, you know, then all of a sudden they get cut or they get hurt and it's over. You know, and their job is to be an athlete, just like whatever our professional jobs are, whatever our careers are. You know, they're using their body, you know, and it's very important that they look into, you know, investing in something else, you know, besides just, you know, spending their money on things that aren't going to be a turnaround or an investment in their futures.
Real talk, ladies and gentlemen. This is how we do. This is how we do each and every Wednesday, folks. Ms. Oatmeal Brown comes with the Realness 101, schooling y'all on it. So before we get the show to an end, we have another caller that wants to chime in here out of Dallas, Texas. Phone number ending in 5131. Caller, you're on the line with us tonight. Who's on the happy hour?
Yeah, this is Brian out of Dallas.
Okay. Talk
and,
to us, Brian. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Really like the forum, first-time listener. And I just wanted to say I can attest to Natasha. Actually, she trains one of my daughter, and she loves it. And, I mean, I've even seen her, you know, more energy, and she's lost a lot of weight, which is good, athletic. And actually, we even using her at one of my schools we have and train a lot of younger kids. So anyone out there listening, it's working, and it's working for us. And my other guy down there, Hill, we actually used him as well doing some training, basketball, and so far it's been great. So, but again, I really like the form and the things you're talking about, and I'll be tuning in a lot more after this.
Well, please do, man. We really appreciate it. Keep in mind that we're going to be moving around here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area doing live events. Last week we were at Brooklyn's Jazz Cafe in Brooklyn. If you follow us on How Was Your Weekend at Facebook, you'll be able to see some of the clips we did from previous shows. This week, we're going to be in Fort Worth, Texas, off of 820 and John T. White, taking it to the hood, ladies and gentlemen, and having real talk, real conversation in a barber and beauty shop, which that topic is going to be good and bad hair. Why do women choose the hairstyles that they do? So if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this weekend and you just got paid on a Friday or you maybe have to wait till that other check comes in, come on and hang out with us a little bit. We're going to have some real talk, have some real chicken wings, some real food, you know, have a couple drinks if need be, and talk about the topic at hand. So it's going to be real talk, ladies and gentlemen. I have thoroughly enjoyed this broadcast tonight. Natasha, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. We definitely welcome you to the show. Did you enjoy this tonight?
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. I thank you for having me on tonight.
Okay. This has been fantastic. And our Nikki's up in Detroit always representing, ladies and gentlemen. One day, it's going to be some sunshine and no snow up there. we're running into almost the third month of the year, 2011, and they still have snow. What kind of God is this? Is letting people know, look, I'm in control at all times. So it's just deep, man.
Don't put your coats up yet.
Yeah, don't put your coats up yet. We got folks in Dallas, Texas wanting to wear straw hats in February. You got to put that up, bro. It ain't quite time. it's coming. You can't rush it. It's still fall. That's like wearing a Halloween costume on November the 1st. Just hold on. You're still out of season, bro. It's not right. But as we're wrapping up the show, I want to just, look at a small perspective of what's going on. We have a lot of athletes who want to have their name in lights and, find the limelight or endorse that shoe company or maybe that sportswear because they see that's what Jordan did and they see that's what other people have done. And you get a look at the Magic Johnsons of today, which have gone above and beyond winning NBA championships to owning movie theaters and fitness places and Starbucks and, just doing their thing. And you could be celebrated by so many people. You have your own entourage and the masses adore you. And I know that that's got to be an outstanding feeling, especially coming from maybe a single family home, or a single parent home where it's just that one person. It's just you and your mom or you and your brother and sister. But to know that your names are going to be up in lights, you dream big because that's all that thing is instilled in you. But I want you to keep this in mind, for those who may be listening to the on the podcast when they play back the show. Keep in mind that what's most important is really having your name not in the spotlight, but on that degree or on that diploma or on that marquee banner of your own personal business. That's what's really important because that is something that you will have in yourself forever. Someone actually mentioned this to us at Brooklyn's Jazz Cafe about the difference between your degree, someone who has a degree, and someone who has a family business. And if you either have a family business and you don't have a degree, what is the real difference? Well, the real difference with that is that degree you take with you to the grave, and that's just yours. But that business, that family business, you take that with your family, and you pass that down as a legacy. So keep that in mind in the decisions that you make. If you want to become a super superb athlete and make millions of dollars, what are you going to do with that money? They're handing it to you, and they're expecting you to make a fool of yourself and waste it and squander it and live check to check just like somebody who doesn't make six figures. So be conscious in the decisions that you're making, especially while you're raising young adults or if you are a young adult. Because the world that we live in, many times the choices that we make in the path that we walk down can lead to those hard-to-forgive occurrences that most of us find it hard to get out of. And that is the media. So think about that. Only the wrong plans lead the wrong direction. If you have the right plan, you'll have the right direction. So I want to enjoy that, ladies and gentlemen. Just keep that in your mind. Keep that in your hearts. We're going to be at LB's Barber and Beauty. Come and see us live if you're in Dallas, Texas. Miss Oatman Brown is going to come with the realness. We're going to be putting it on YouTube for those that can't make it, and you'll also be able to get copies of the book, Second Place Women Who Come In First. It's my very first book, ladies and gentlemen. I encourage you to get your copy. As we wrap up today's show, I want to thank the folks who called in. I want to thank Natasha. I want to thank Bobby. I want to thank Dan for blogging in the chat room and expressing their thoughts. As always, you make the show what it is. And if you had a good time tonight and you got some good information out of this show, do me a favor. Just tell three more people to tune in with you next week as we come back with another hot topic. Me and Miss Oatmeal Brown are going to come with the realness on the topic, and we're going to post that to you on Facebook and let you know what's going on. So beyond half of good night, ladies and gentlemen. I'm stuttering. I'm tripping. I don't know what's going on. But I want to say go mob to my frat. Good night to the fam, and we gone. Thanks for listening, everybody. We had a wonderful time.
I was...